So, Vijay, who are you and what you do with your basketball practice?
My name's PJ Mumford. I've been coaching basketball for 18 years, and I live in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I have a business called Play Practice Basketball, and we specialize in helping 10 to 14-year-old players that want to play high school basketball build the skill set they need to be successful at that level.
Okay. So, BJ, obviously, usually this is the first question. It's when you get in touch with tag teacher, and how do you start using tag teacher in your work?
Yeah, so I found it through my wife, actually, who's a veterinarian and was familiar with Karen Pryor's work and found Tag Teach. And that was back in 2015, so 8 years ago now. In 2017, I really started using Tag Teach. I did my level one certification and started with the youngest age kids, so pre-kindergarten to second grade in the schools themselves. So after school kind of enrichment program with basketball where they couldn't process instructions at their age. And so Tag Teach was really the tool I was looking for at that point to make, basketball skill training productive with the really young kids. So really, starting with those youngest kids, finding the power of Tag Teach, I went on to do my level two certification and then started expanding the method to all age level players from, toddlers and, 3-year-olds all the way up to college level basketball players.
How your every learners of yours, so every from the kindergarten to university or college students, how do they get the feeling of a tag teacher? Did you have did they find it helpful for them for the basketball skill, or do you have any trouble introducing tag teach with them?
No, I really didn't have any trouble. It was more of a, mental obstacle in my own head originally, trying to present that method to parents, as the way we were going to do things. And really coming out of 2020 when we had, the pandemic and we're not doing anything in person, I did some remote coaching using Tag Teach, where it was really the only way to get the point across without being there to demonstrate. And I think coming out of that is where I kind of invented or created a curriculum and decided, like, we are going to make Tag Teach just the official way that we give instructions. And, everyone's gone along with that without question, since that point.
The question, now you get me curious. When you told us that the difficulty of introducing tag teach was more for you because you have to change or adapt your way of coaching rather than to for your kids or your athletes. So what was that with you? So what was happening in your mind? What was changing from before and after the implementation of tag teach?
Yeah, I think it was, like I said, kind of obstacle in my mind. A lot of the stigma around, the clicker training that everybody talks about, you're going to clicker train my child like you do my dog. I think I had that built up in my mind, but when people haven't seen coaching done that way, they really don't know, they have no connection with the dog training side of things. They just think you're doing amazing things with basketball. And so I guess over time, it's kind of able to prove the effectiveness of it. And I think the biggest thing for me was really just putting the limitation on myself to say instructions in 5 words or less, and following the WOOF method. And that really accelerated my coaching effectiveness and allowed me to be more confident expanding that to more and more players.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so which and these you developing your skills as a teacher, as a coach, and you developing your curriculum as a coach brings me to ask you about the one of the things that we share in our chat before. So you, when we are talking about this interview, you gave me three concepts that I would love you to share with the with the audience. And the first of the three concepts is that what you are doing with your learners now, and it's that you are helping them to learn how to learn. What is that for a basketball player?
I guess my background was being homeschooled my whole life, and so I really created a great skill of being able to learn anything that I want to, and, you know, being a self-motivated and, you know, very capable learner. And I often find with the average kids in school that they are not working on that type of skill set. They are, you know, reciting back by rote memorization what they're learning in school to pass a test.
Okay.
So I think our whole approach of using Tag Teach is conducive to helping them learn how to learn.
How do they feel about getting able to learn how to learn? Which are the feedbacks that you get from them? What do you see?
Yeah, I think it's very subtle. Like we don't tell them that we're setting out explicitly to help them learn how to learn. It's more of the very detailed approach, you know, how we build context. So I guess the big picture would be we take the whole part whole method, and we actually call it, in basketball terminology, we call it play, practice, play. And why our business is called Play Practice. We take the actual game situation that's going on, and then we break down all the detailed parts that need to happen in that situation, and basically build out the whole, you know, the whole puzzle or the whole picture for them. And so it's very, I guess, in the background, implicit approach that they are learning how to learn just by doing, and even though they don't know it at the time.
Let me ask you this. So you mentioned that you take the whole game, the every situation that could happen in a basketball game, and you break it all the situation down, and you present them one by one or like that to your learners until they can understand and know what to do in that situation. Which brings me to ask you how much in your in one of your training session is for practice, and how much is for drill? Meaning, so you know, the drill is you explain them what is the situation, and you give the general information. Maybe you give them the tag point, and then you get them practice. So there is these two components in the time that you are using with your students. How big is one, and how big is the other?
Yeah, so we basically keep it as evenly balanced as possible, you know, roughly 50-50 of both. And, you know, competing, especially in a small group setting, which is kind of the best environment for that. But we do some simulations in even, you know, one-to-one training with one coach and one player. But, you know, roughly 50-50. So we'll start with play and kind of identify where the player needs to work on a skill, and then we'll go right into that skill because it's kind of at that point a solution to the problem they just experienced. And then we'll go back to play right afterwards to try to make that piece fit into, you know, the live competition again.
Okay. BJ, did you tell that, so when they are playing, your group is playing two, three, and you see something that you want to improve. This is for the whole group, or this is for one learner, for one athlete, or for both?
Yeah, so I guess from a lot of experience, I typically know what I'm looking for. Like I know based on the situation that we are setting up to play for, like what we call constraint-based coaching, like we're limiting certain factors so that there's only going to be a few options available. And based on that, we kind of know where they're going to have trouble, where they're going to need help, and where they're going to need to break down the skill. So we're kind of put them in the game intentionally to let them experience the problem, and then we're going to go address that problem and break it down. So typically it's for the whole group. Okay. There are cases where we'll, you know, take a one learner aside if they need, you know, specific help with something that the whole group does not. But typically it's the whole group.
So in all of that framework, where do you use Tag Teach? On the how
Yeah,
most
so in
important.
that, yeah, in the group setting, we're typically making a tag point for each player, and we play a lot of what's called small-sided games. So 2-on-2 or 3-on-3. We don't really play 5-on-5 very often, just because the players need a simplified version in order to learn more easily. And so we are creating a decision point essentially, which I know we talked about on our preview call of the decision making, what I call two moves in a queue. Basically, we'll limit the constraints again down to two options that the player is going to have, and then we bring their attention to a queue on how to decide between those two options.
So, and this leads us to our next point, which is you mentioned the decision. So, how much important is for a basketball player to be able to decide correctly in the most of the situation in a game? So.
Yeah, so it's very, very important. I see one of the biggest struggles that young players have, especially, is being indecisive, uncertain of what to do, even if they have very good skills, not knowing when or where to execute those skills is one of the big struggles they have. And so, working on simplifying decision making, what I've come to call binary decision making, or two moves in a queue, having a default option, like in this situation, option A is always correct. And then we introduce the tag point, comes in with a queue, where it's like, if the queue is present, then you take option B. And keeping it as simple as only two options really accelerates that ability to make a decision quickly.
This is just brilliant. I was mentioning BJ the two move and the queue. Yes, I'm saying that
Yeah.
correctly. So exactly
Correct.
what is this?
Yeah. So the most common situation that a player is in basketball is catching a pass with the option to shoot or to attack the basket. And that's where a lot of players get stuck and they're indecisive. What I've looked at is as many as seven options could be available to them if they shoot, they dribble with their right hand, or they dribble with their left hand, or they pass to any of their four teammates. That gives us seven options, and it's way too many to make a quick decision. And so I've narrowed their focus down to just shoot or drive. And again, the binary part of this is like an on-off switch. We want to shoot always every time we're open, and then the defender's hand becomes our cue. If the defender's hand is up, being in our vision, near our ball, then we're going to drive to the basket instead.
That's amazing. I think that this is just brilliant because let me share my idea is as a teachers we are not so keen we miss this step we miss the discrimination level which is okay you call it the decision but the discrimination level what I'm going to do with that this single thing we take so many things for granted, and we ask to our basketball player or to our students at school to do things that they don't know how to decide, they don't know how to handle. Right?
Right.
Yes.
Right,
Awesome.
exactly.
Let me ask you another last thing about this decision-making teaching. How do you? So you started by putting your athlete into a binary situation. If your opponent is as they raised hand, you drive to the basketball. If not, you shoot, something like that. How do you move from this first level of learning to the more complex level, which is the game, where there is many things going on? You don't have just the opponent with the hands up and down, you have other four opponents and you have other four teammates ready to play maybe a better options if you give them the opportunity.
All right. So I guess there's a lot of factors there, but I guess the base starting point is kind of taking the 80-20 principle and working on the things that happen most frequently so that there's leverage. You know, if you're good at the skill that happens 20 times a game, it's okay if you're bad at the skill that happens once per game, right? And yes. So that situation we just talked through of, you know, catching a pass with the option to shoot or drive happens very frequently. So if a player gets really good at creating advantage is kind of the outcome that I look at. Like they're either shooting a wide open shot as an advantage or they're driving past one defender and basically making the game 5-on-4 if they drive past that one defender. And then what I've talked about at ChatCon and what I'm going to talk about with Joan next week on our another presentation is what I call the decision tree, which kind of takes this framework and expands it so that when you drive to the basket, you're then looking for the next cue that's going to change your mind from going all the way to the basket and score. It might be to pass. It might be to change direction with a dribble. And, you know, each stage of that, each branch of that decision tree, you know, has another decision point with two more options.
Right. So before we close, let me talk about another very, very important thing that I found in your work, and is building skills starting from decisions. So you told me about this skill that you're teaching to your learner and how this is important and not only for your basketball players, but I think for every learner. Quindi.
Yeah, so I like to call it building skills downstream from decisions. And so kind of combining that with what we just talked about, the binary decision making, and, you know, following a similar principle. I was actually just remembering that it was an Italian economist, Vilfredo Pareto, that came up with the Pareto principle is the 80-20 rule. But the same concept here, you know, where we could work on 1,000 different skills, but, you know, the 20% of those skills that happen the most frequently in game is where we can really make the most progress, have the most leverage. And so when we're working through the decision framework, we're finding what are the most common decisions. And then based on our two best options we identified coming out of that decision, what are the skills we need to execute that decision? And, you know, we can build a lot of layers, a lot of branches of the decision tree and a lot of skills that go along with each branch. But just having that framework and getting players to understand the context of the game where the decision is before they have to work on the skill dramatically increases their motivation to practice the skill because they know how it's going to be used.
Yes, that's just brilliant. I'm thinking about this concept, and I will keep thinking for months. So thank you very much, BJ, because it's something very, very I think useful for every kind of learning. We talk a lot about also in animal training about discrimination. So it's basically knowing what to do in that situations and. I think it's something so overlooked in our general learning that your approach is life changing. That's my idea. That's my personal opinion. What let's go back for a final second. Then I ask you to the participants if there is any questions. Let me go back for 1 second to tag teaching and asking you. Let me ask you in the whole process. From the binary decision to the three framework decision making and to the teaching the skills, where is tag teach? Do you have a specific tag points? Do you have already a program that the clients for that skills and it is these tag points, or you are just like Dr. Martin is doing, or you're like more like me, and I see what's happening, and then I got the tag point.
So I guess the way I like to describe it is the science of coaching with tag teach is studying your situation that you're going to be working in, and knowing ahead of time what the best, most likely, most useful or effective tag points are, just based on, you know, volume of experience, I think, over time. And that's really where our curriculum is, you know, the written down checklist of tag points that we've established over time based on a situational skill that we're working on. And then the other side, the art of coaching, is improvising new tag points specific to that learner. And what I've started talking about lately, or just a new concept or way to think about it for myself, has been the idea of high definition skills, where a lot of coaching is done in a vague or blurry kind of picture for the learner. And what we do is provide high definition, and we can actually zoom in, you know, an infinite amount, however small of a piece we need to zoom in on for the learner to master technique, we can do. So you can the science framework script, and then the art is zooming in as needed.
Yeah. So I was translating your question, your answer, and I was thinking about that with the zooming in, you intend that you can move. Let's say that we are talking about the free shot. You can teach them to a general level, like the placement of the feet and the body position, and how high you want to raise your hand. But then you can start micro zooming in and start teaching where you want the position of the thumb, where if you want them to check the lines on the balloon and position the thumb and the finger in a specific position, and all these sort of things, which is brilliant.
Exactly. And it really, you know, over time I've narrowed down the list to like 7 or 8 tag points for shooting at the free throw line, something we definitely do all the time. And, you know, I kind of go through, based on what I'm seeing from the player, like I'll pick which one to start from. But, you know, generally similar progression for each athlete as they're improving. And, you know, in 10 minutes, I can get them to have 7 perfect pieces of their free throw, and they're starting to make shots, even if they were never making them before.
It's, which is just like mind-blowing for them, right?
Right. Yeah, and mind-blowing for parents, you know, watching that process with, you know, a skill they've seen or they've tried to help their player learn for years. In some cases, they'll talk about, you know, we tried to get him to make his free throws for 3 years, and, you know, in 3 minutes, we got it solved.
Okay. Before I forgot, first of all, thank you so much. It's time that we wrap up because... I think I mentioned that you are providing us ideas and materials for more than one interview. So I could keep talking for the whole day, but it was just great. So thank you very much for your time and for your sharing your expertise with us. I do really find that it's just a brilliant approach to not only to basketball but to learning in general. I do have a question before we wrap up, and it's from Joan. She's asking, how are you training your coaching staff on Tag Teach? Because have a staff that and how are they doing with that? So you don't have only your players, but
question. I guess similar to our players, which I didn't really mention, the hybrid part of our curriculum is that we have a video before each session they're on the court for the players, but for the coaches we have a video course as well, where they're basically studying the concepts we're going to use and the tag points, and, you know, definitely educating them on the Tag Teach method. You know, we kind of start first week of hiring someone, we get them to go do the free introduction to Tag Teach video so that they have at least that concept in mind. And then we're working toward getting all of our staff certified. You know, right now they have other commitments, so they haven't been able to get through it. But some of our younger coaches, college age, have been, you know, getting that done. And so, you know, working toward saying that we have a staff that's completely Tag Teach certified for all of our staff members is a goal I have.
Right.
And then, essentially, it's giving them, giving them a tag point, such as, reinforce precisely when the player executes the skill. So a tag point for a coach would be, tag that skill, essentially.
Tag that skill.
And, I'm watching for, how precisely are they saying yes? And, how good is their timing? How good is their positioning on the court to see the skill precision?
Right.
And, how well are they doing with saying yes and only yes? Because, we all fall into saying more words than necessary and changing
yes.
the tone and, all that.
I think we are done. And yes, I'm really looking forward to your next webinar next week, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Next Thursday.
So I will just thank you, BJ, for your time and for your explanation, for your interview today. It was really, really awesome. And I will see you next week. Okay.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you very much, BJ.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.